This lesson tonight is a lesson that would be important for anyone that has children of an impressionable age, junior high, late elementary, early high school, or even into high school, possibly even into college. That there is a thought process right now, what the news is calling critical race theory. That you're, and I, in a nutshell, the way I interpret it, you're a sorry piece of human flesh. And that's what they want you to believe. You know, years ago, there was a cartoon character called Waldo. And every now and then, there would be in a magazine a picture like this, and they'd say, well, where's Waldo? He was the very one that could stand out in the crowd. You stand out in a crowd because you're a child of God. You don't blend in with everybody else. Each person is unique. Every person is different. I'm soon to have 8 grandchildren. Ain't none of them the same. You know it? All of your children that you've had, none of them the same. You and your siblings, none of you were the same. Even if you're twins, you're not the same. There's only one of you. And yet the world focuses on the differences of people, comparing and commending themselves. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. The way the world views the human race now is leaving God completely out of the picture. And that's for a reason. But the world focuses on wealth, the dollar signs. That's all they want to see. The world focuses on gender. Have you noticed how the society now focuses on the gender or lack thereof? Men are no longer men. Women are no longer women. And they say that you can't pronounce a baby's gender when it's born because it hasn't become old enough to decide what it wants to be. And I'm thinking, God's already made that decision. They focus on race, the critical race theory right now. They're telling you that as a white person, a white human being, that you're still the oppressor in society. They focus on politics. It's butting heads again, isn't it? They focus on everything, and to me, they focus on it to their destructive end. And I think that's a sinful thing. A lot is made about equality or opportunity versus equity or outcome. Scripture settles this in a spiritual way as well as physically. Jesus said in Matthew 7 verses 13 and 14, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. Everything that you do in your life is based upon Scripture and spirituality. Everything. So don't let society tell you otherwise. And don't let society force feed your child in public education saying that God doesn't matter. God doesn't matter. I told in the Bible class Thursday morning, I don't follow the news like I used to. But I do watch some, and I see a couple of news blogs that pop up on the internet every now and then. And recently there was a woman who homeschools her children. And she has to work within the curriculum of that school system where she lives. And she asked them, are you teaching what's called critical race theory? They said, we can't tell you. But I need to know so that I know what to teach my children. They said, well, if you want to know, it's going to cost you $70,000. So she filed a Freedom of Information Act to find out what the school's teaching all the kids in the public school system. They sued her because they said she didn't have a right to know. everything is based upon spirituality. But then they're trying to say that everybody's different and there's something different about all of us. But I want to suggest to you that we all have something in common. So what do you have in common if you're a man or a woman with a man or a woman? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 11 and 12, "Nevertheless, neither is the woman independent of the man, nor the man independent of the woman in the Lord. For as woman came from man, so man also comes through a woman. But all things come from God." You don't want to know what you as a man have in common with a woman? You come from God. And yet society says, oh no, we've got to have feminism, where the woman has got to be equal or above the man now. Or transgenderism. You know, there's a whole section in the Olympics now for transgenderism. And they've even gone to where there's a track meet now, and I didn't know this until after the Olympics, but they mix it men and women. So it's no longer men competing against men or women against women. Now you can pretend to be a woman as a man and pretend and compete with the women. There was a New Zealand athlete that was a transgender, was a man, competing in a weightlifting competition in the Olympics against other women. I find it ironic that he lost. But you see, we're trying to accommodate everybody's feelings nowadays. What about other races? Paul writes in Acts 17, when he went to and preached on Mars Hill there, he says in verse 26, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwelling." We had a critical time in this country over race, over slavery. And our own government, it took them time to acknowledge that blacks were equal with white people. And when they did acknowledge it, they only gave them a percentage of humanity in the amendment to allow them to vote. And it wasn't until years later that they gave them the full rights. Because they viewed one race as less human than another. What did Paul say here? He has made from one blood every nation of men. I used to know a man who was the first heart transplant recipient in the state of Tennessee. An elderly white statesman of a man. His heart came from a young, athletic black boy. Why? Because it was compatible. Why? Because that's the way God designed us. God designed us that way. Our DNA and everything that makes us up is compatible to a certain extent with other human bodies. Why is it, if that's not the case, why is it on the back of your driver's license they ask you a lot of times to sign the donor part of it? And if you sign that, can you specify, well, I don't want mine to go to Asian, to black, to Mexican, to whatever? We all have something in common, and that's God. And yet society says, no. There is privilege. And yet we have to have some victims in all of this. What do you have in common with men like Bill Gates and Elon Musk? The proverb writer says, rich and poor have this all in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. I had a preacher friend years ago that told me that when he preached, and I've been in that same situation where you get up in the pulpit and you look out and there's a dozen preachers out there that you know are more qualified than you. They've been preaching for 30 more years than you've been preaching. And it makes you nervous because you're thinking, I hope I don't mess up. I hope I meet their standard of what they think a preacher ought to be. And he said something to one of them. And a preacher just looked at him and said, "Well, did you put your pants on this morning like I did, one leg at a time?" "Well, yes, sir." It's the same with everybody. You have the same thing in common with Bill Gates, Elon Musk, and the fellow that lives in a cardboard box down under the river. God is your maker. It doesn't matter how much money you've got or the like thereof. All of us have several things in common. The commonality that we have, or what makes us equal, the equality in these things, should inform us about our attitudes, our language, and the way we treat others. So what do we have in common? God created us all. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3. God created all of mankind, created everything in creation. And we all live on God's good earth because that's what He created. We get our life, our breath, everything about our human body comes from God because He created us. We get our food from God. The food that sustains us comes from our Lord. The labor that goes into it, the shelter that we live in, our homes, come from God. They protect us from the rain, from the snow, from the hot, from the cold. And it still comes from God. The materials that were designed, used to build your house, come from God. Every aspect of it. What about the clothing that we wear to warm us, keep us cool, to cover us, to adorn us? Comes from God. Everything comes from God. And I don't care how much money you got or how little money you got, it all comes from God. God does so much good for all of us. And I think sometimes we forget that. Because society wants us to focus on who are the victims and who are the privileged. And we need to put all of that aside and look at the fact that we're all equal in the eyes of God. All equal. Because we're all His children. And for us to ignore God is possibly one of the greatest insults that we can do to Him. We're all common because we are all inherently equal before God. Genesis 1 and verse 27 says we're all created in God's image. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. God said, "Let us make man in our image." You, I don't care what you look like. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how tall you are, skinny you are, short you are, fat you are, whatever. I don't care if you walk with a limp or if your knee starts hurting coming up the hill like mine and Sister Josephine's does. I don't care. You are made in the image of God. Don't ever let your children be taught anything contrary to that. And don't you ever believe it either. It doesn't matter about your skin color, your physical traits, whether you're blue-eyed, blonde hair, whatever. Those things are really irrelevant when it comes to who you are and what you are in the eyes of God. And if God doesn't look at us and say, "Well, that one's black, that one's white, that one's yellow, that one's brown, that one's whatever." If God doesn't look at us that way, then why should we? Why should we look at each other differently? We're all born innocent, aren't we? Every one of us is born innocent. 1 Samuel, this should be before this slide. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature." This is when He sent Samuel out to appoint David as the next king after Saul. Samuel had all of his brothers come through, and all of them were tall men, big men. David comes through, and he's a little ruddy guy. Samuel says, "Surely this ain't who you're talking about, is it?" God says, "Don't look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And that's what we need to look at too. It doesn't matter It doesn't matter what nationality, what race, what ethnicity you are, or what society tells you that you need, how you need to view them. God doesn't look at us that way, and neither should we. But as I said, we're all born innocent. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 39, Moses writes, "Moreover, your little ones and your children, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good or evil, they shall go in there. To them I will give it, and they shall possess it." Talking about the land of promise. They were innocent. The next generation going into the promised land was innocent. The last generation, not so much. They had allowed the world to corrupt them. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, we will allow the world to corrupt us as well. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29, "Truly, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes." That is so true. That's really, think about that for a moment. God made us all the same. What makes us different? Man's opinion of himself and man's opinion of other people. You know, when slavery came about, and even after slavery, the white man viewed the black man as not having a soul. Do you realize that? Haven't we come a long way? And when you understand what Paul says in Acts 17 a moment ago, you have to realize that because we are made in the image of God, every race, ethnicity, whatever, all of us are made in the image of God. But we look out for many schemes. Man does himself more damage than he realizes. In Matthew 18 and verses 3 and 4, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We need to put aside what society teaches us and simply do what God says do. Become innocent like a little child. We're all tempted to sin. There's not a person here in this room tonight that can honestly say, "I've never been tempted to sin," because you have. To say contrary, you're a liar. Everyone has been tempted to sin. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that all of us are tempted to sin, but God provides a way of escape if we're willing to look for it. Temptations to covet, lust, lie, betray, deceive, those things are all universal, and they've always been part of mankind since the beginning of time. So should empathy and mercy, not self-righteous condemnation, take over? All, when tempted to sin, sometimes choose to sin. And the Bible is clear about that. Calamities don't mean worse sinners. Remember Job, the story? All of the bad things that happened in his life, the calamities as we're talking about. His friends that came to him says, "Oh, brother, you've done something bad. That's why you're suffering the way that you are." No, that's not necessarily the case. Because bad things do happen to good people sometimes. Misfortunes should cause us to think about our lives. And if I'm a righteous person, if I'm a believer in God, and something bad happens in my life, and maybe I do need to look at myself, and maybe I do need to find repentance. That's what we see in Luke 13 and verse 5. But you know what else we all have in common that makes us inherently equal before God? We all need God's salvation. We cited John 3:16 this morning, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that you and I could obtain salvation, obtain that hope of going to heaven when this world is no more. We all have that equal before God. God did not eliminate one over the other and say, "You can't have it, but you can." that would make him a respecter of persons. And Peter clearly pointed out when he spoke to the household of Cornelius in Acts 10, verse 34 and 35, that truly I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. God is equally merciful with everybody in creation. And we understand that because the gospel is for everyone. At no point did Jesus ever say, preach it to this nation, but not that. Now, in the limited commission, yeah, it was only to the nation of the Israelites. But when he died, and before he ascended back into heaven, he told his apostles to preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature, every nation. Baptizing them and making disciples. And you know, that was before slavery ever came along in America. That was before the American people said, the black man doesn't have a soul. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations. Baptize people of all nations. The gospel is for everybody. It doesn't matter what race you are, what gender, what social status, what your occupation is, or what political affiliation you have, whether you're on the side of the donkey or the elephant. It doesn't matter. The plan of salvation is the same for everybody, not just a particular group of people. But you know what else we have equal before God? In the church, we're all brethren. We're all servants, and we're all citizens, and the list goes on. We're all equal. At Eastside Church of Christ, everyone that is a Christian is equal in the eyes of God. You say, well, there's elders, there's... I understand that. But all of us are equal in the eyes of God. The elders don't have any more blessing or grace or mercy bestowed upon them than you do. They have more responsibilities and weightier responsibilities, but the blessings are all the same that they receive. You receive the same ones. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In the church, we're all equal. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says we're a peculiar generation, a royal priesthood, but we're all equal. And yet we still have different roles, different works to do, but we're all the same body. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. You know what else we all have in common? Death comes to everyone. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 9 and verse 27 that it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Death is impartial. It is not a respecter of people. It's unbiased. It's colorblind. It doesn't matter what your status in life is. It comes to everybody. And because of that, all of us should arrange our lives knowing this truth. James writes in James 4, beginning in verse 13, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. He says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. We need to arrange our lives based upon what we know from God's word. But you know, another thing we have equal before God is God's justice. God's law is equal. People that are unjust are going to suffer the same fate as Christians that are unfaithful. Every person is going to have to give an account of their lives. Romans 14, 2 Corinthians 5. And the judgment seat of Christ, Well, according to Romans 2 and verse 2, we'll be according to truth. It's going to be inclusive according to Romans 2 and verse 3. But according to Romans 2 and verse 4, everyone can repent. But verse 5 of Romans 2 tells us that that judgment's going to be righteous. And then in verses 6 through 10, Paul tells us that that judgment is going to be based upon our conduct, the way we've lived our lives. And in the very next verse, verse 11 of Romans 2, Paul says that that judgment's going to be without partiality. God's not going to discriminate. He's not going to look at you and say, well, now, you know, you were a faithful Christian for 30 years of your life. You died in year 31, but right before you died, you committed a sin. I'm going to wipe that sin out. No. Not going to happen. You have to remain faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. So what does all this mean for us? Simply put, love your neighbor as yourself. It's what Jesus tells us, Matthew 22. Paul, in essence, tells us that in Romans 13. Treat them as you want to be treated. The golden rule, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Live your life without retaliation. Don't think that you've got to get back at people. You don't. And as much as is within you and depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 and 18. And another thing we need to do is try to save as many lost souls with the gospel as we possibly can. All have a common problem, sin. But all of us have a common remedy as well, Christ. And all of us have an opportunity to be saved right now. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. There are people in this world that try to stir up division over many things. But as a child of God, we need to understand God is not divisive. He simply tells us that there's two ways in life. Serve Him or not. If you serve Him, then you're going to be blessed. You're going to be showered with His mercy and His grace and have the hope of heaven. If you don't serve Him, well, you know the alternative. Eternity with the devil and his angels and a place prepared for them. I don't know why we live in such a time that is so divisive. But God is not. And I hope that you help teach your children that it doesn't matter what the school teachers teach them, their college professors teach them, or what their friends may try to tell them. Society is a destructive thing sometimes. But God is not. God is loving and doesn't want any to perish. And because of that, He's given this opportunity for any that wish to become a child of His by putting Him on in baptism. But it may be that you've allowed yourself to be caught up in the divisiveness of society and you've given in to some of it, fallen prey to some of those temptations, and it's caused you to sin. God has given you an opportunity as well to repent of those things that you need to repent of, as public as they may be. If you're here this evening and need to respond, I encourage you to make your